Today's Kool-Aid Football Podcast is sponsored by 2.go, a Madrid-based digital online marketing firm which specializes in pay-per-click advertising, such as Facebook ads and Google AdWords, as well as social media management in both Spanish and English languages. Check out their website for more information, 2.go.com. Update your business to version 2.go. Now, on to the podcast. Welcome everyone to episode 31 of the Kool-Aid Football Podcast, the only weekly English podcast about Football Club Barcelona. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, recording here from Madrid, very quiet Madrid. We have had a long holiday weekend here for Labor Day, so it's very quiet around here in Madrid. But everyone is coming back today, and as I posted the picture on the Facebook page, people getting ready already for the Champions League Derby tonight, which should be a good one. I will be fully supporting Atletico tonight, that's for sure. In today's episode, we are going to review quickly the Osasuna match that was played where Barcelona won 7-1, and then the Catalan Derby against Espanyol where Barcelona won 3-0. As it stands right now, Barcelona is the league leaders, but again, Real Madrid has a game in hand. Real Madrid was able to get a last-minute victory against Valencia, I think in the 85th minute, something like this, where Marcelo had a really nice goal. So again, two matches last week, two wins. The week coming up, we just have the one match over the weekend against Villarreal. Now that we're not in Champions League, we should be pretty fresh for the remainder of the league games. So before we get into the Catalan Derby, let's listen to the audio highlights from BN Sport.
It's going to be requiring somebody with that deftness of touch and that incredible Suarez ability like this man.
Gets in, Suarez!
Yes! Ends the drought and it opens the scoring. Suarez being in the desert, but he comes out and finds his oasis here. Beautiful dispatch again. And he's onto it like a teenager in a hot rod. And he leaves his defenders in acid. Wonderful movement through the gears here. It's a bad, bad giveaway. This is an intended back pass, and it's a gift for Suarez, and he's impeccable with the finish. Take a look at this. One touch to control, he's on the run, and then outside of the foot was Jurado, who missed the early chance. I think it's Jurado on that far side that gives it away, Phil. What a present for Suarez, who sinks his fangs into it and draws blood beautifully.
Seps. Last time the Espanyol fans had a chance to celebrate a victory was in the days of Tamudo, and that was 2007, but it was the return leg, final match of the season, where Tamudo scored two goals to deny Barcelona the crown.
Great run.
Messi.
Magic.
Plays it square. Rakitic rolls it home. There will be no denying today.
The defense goes missing like the kids in the Blair Witch Project. And Messi again sets a table for Ivan the Terrible. Beautiful again. On the run, Messi. And Rakitic is absolutely impeccable in picking his spot. Here again, the turn is quicksilver. The feet continue to dance, and then it's a kiss. A wonderful, inviting kiss, and there's the punishing pass into the goal from Rakitic. But again, he doesn't need to look because he's already taken 1,000 pictures in that brilliant cerebral camera that's stuck between his ears. Messi, and says, finish it off, Blondie. Rakitic makes it 2-0.
Rakitic finds Luis Suarez into the middle for Messi, the magic man looking for one of his own. Messi, three men trying to stop him. Reyes Davis intercepts.
Oh, turning on the stale points now. Messi having a laugh, trying to bamboozle in his own inimitable way, and trying to create space out of nothing. Nearly
a game. They'll be on the road at just relegated Granada. Welcome Sevilla.
Good run.
And then on the road at Celta and Malaga.
It's fouled, but it's played on.
Messi with the advantage.
Magic.
Threaded forward. Javi Lopez with the nice tackle.
Wonderful pass. Slide route perfect from Lionel. And a great tackle to deny Neymar.
Looking for Suarez. Loose for Suarez on the doorstep. And he takes it across the threshold. He couldn't score for nearly six games. And now they're just falling at his feet.
Well, it's a second present for Suarez, who gets gifted another absolute beauty for the man who will probably be voted man of the match, but he'll be thanking his lucky stars here. And take a look at this calamity of mistakes. Super ball in from Messi that's short, a swing and a miss, sadly. And it's Aaron Martin who says, wipe your feet on the welcome mat and come into my parlour. And Suarez says, thank you very much. No chance to cover it up, Diego Lopez. And again.
So those were the highlights from the Catalan Derby. In this episode, we're just going to keep it for those audio highlights for this match, because the 7-1 match against Osasuna was kind of boring and too many goals. So we're just going to break down the Catalan Derby and then briefly talk about the Osasuna match. So first of all, the Catalan Derby was played in the RCD Stadium, where Espanyol always plays Barcelona difficult. They're always difficult matches. It's almost like their Super Bowl. They always really try to muck it up with Barcelona, make it dirty, tough. And also, since it was rainy over the weekend, it's also just more difficult situations for both teams. So it just kind of mucks it up a little bit. But first of all, for me, it was a really boring first half. Again, I keep harping on this fact that why do we keep playing the 4-3-3? It's just we set up in the 4-3-3, but we don't have any semblance of it. We don't keep possession, especially in this match. Messi, again, was doing the same thing where he's just taking the ball from the middle to the left, leaving the right top corner vacant and making it easy for the defense. So it's just, I mean, I would prefer Messi playing behind Suarez up the middle. I think it just gives a double threat, and obviously Messi can shoot from outside, distribute. You know, it's just way more dangerous. I would prefer almost like a 4-4-2 style where Suarez and Neymar are up the front of the two, and then Messi's playing up the middle of that. Then that would do something, because then Suarez would also kind of occupy the right. But yeah, it's just Messi's just not keeping that right corner, and so the defense doesn't have to worry about that corner. So we'll go into that in the statistics part of the recap. But again, nothing pretty about the goals, except for the Rakitic goal. But the other two goals were mistakes by Espanyol's defense, and Suarez had opportunities to poach him, so he broke his scoreless drought, which was good to see. Defense looked better, but still not too many scary moments. I think it was only in the first half where Espanyol had a breakaway, but of course the guy shot it wide. And not too much pressure in the night, but you know, it was just mainly the battle was in the midfield, especially with the weather and both lineups. They no one wanted to concede a goal basically for a while, so it was just, you know, passing and trying to get into the attack and then the counter and so forth. So, but for me, it was a pretty boring first half. The second half was definitely a little bit better, especially when Suarez opened the score, and that kind of opened things up a little bit. And of course, Messi playing really well as always, just distributing, being dangerous up the middle, and so forth. What else? The other thing too that bugs the shit out of me is when Suarez is crossing the ball. Like, there should be no reason why that guy should be crossing the ball. He needs to be in the middle, ready for the header to be a threat. Every time I see him cross the ball in the middle on the out, like as a winger, it just drives me crazy because who is he going to cross to? No, Neymar and Suarez are not going to really head the ball that much. That's not what they're known for. I think that that's one of the new things that we need to adapt to going forward is having a variety of attacks, not only shooting from outside the box, doing the tiki-taka inside the box, but also having some more aerial threat with Suarez, because Suarez is an aerial threat. He just doesn't get service. I mean, when was the last time we saw Suarez have a header goal? It's been forever. And but at the same time, he doesn't really get serviced in from the right or the left. I think that's just another thing that we need to add into the attacking. Anyway, let's get into the starting lineups from the match for Barcelona. Ter Stegen starting goal, Sergio Roberto, Umtiti, Pique, Jordi Alba, which I think is the best four for defense for Barcelona and for the big games. Of course, my favorite player, Andre Gomez, just kidding. He started again, which I still don't get. Rakitic, Busquets, Neymar, Messi, and Suarez, of course. For Espanyol, Diego Lopez, David Lopez, Javi Lopez, the Lopez brothers, Diego Reyes, Aaron Martin, Javi Fuego, Victor Sanchez, Jurado, Piatti, Moreno, and Caicedo. So those are the guys for Espanyol. Again, now that I see the starting lineups, it drives me crazy how Andre Gomez still starts. I mean, I just don't get it. I would rather give Dennis Suarez an opportunity. He's younger, faster, just seems more, I don't know, when I see him play, I feel like he's more of a Barcelona player. He fits the style. And Andres Gomez is so just slow. And I don't know, like I was hearing some other podcasts about Andres Gomez and so forth, and it's a situation where, like, I don't know completely if he's bad or if it's just the setup, you know, like the 4-3-3. And I'm wondering, like, because this is a player that both Real Madrid and Barcelona were going after. So obviously he has some sort of talent, right? But the thing is he's not suited for the 4-3-3. So I wonder how much of a difference he would be in a different formation or the formation. I don't even know what formation he was playing before in his previous team, but he must have been playing pretty well for Real Madrid and Barcelona to be fighting over him. Anyway, I digress. He must be like the most amazing practice player or something, and then like shit in the games. I just don't get it. Anyway, so let's get into the defense of the game. Again, the goals, 3 goals for Barcelona, 0 for Espanyol. Total shots for Barcelona, 15. To 6, which is a pretty high number. Shots on target, better number for Barcelona, 9-3. Shots from outside the box, Barcelona 5, Espanyol 2. So pretty good on the attacking. As I look at the heat map, the overall attacking, what do you think? What do you think the heat map looks for the attacking? It's up the middle and to the left with Neymar, Suarez, and Messi. And the right side is barely untouched. It's green, which means like light attacking play, and blue. So they barely even touched it. And that's what I'm talking about. The defense can just shift over and focus onto the left side, which always makes it more difficult when you have, you know, just think about it. It's like in any sport, let's say if you're playing football, and if anyone's played, you know, everyone's played football, you're defending someone and you know he's never going to shoot with his left and just with his right, then you're just going to shade to his right. That's just naturally what you're going to do. And so that's what made Messi in the 4-3-3 so dangerous in the last years, is because when we had the midfield to hold possession, we had, you know, all basically 8 quadrants in their half being occupied by a Barcelona player by movement, passing, and so forth. And that's just not happening as much. So that's one of the things, if you watch now, Messi always gets the ball and he always uses his left because obviously he's left-footed. Now, when he was in the right corner of the 4-3-3, he could cut in, and he was more dangerous because he was already in the last third. But now that he's more in the midfield almost, he's further away from goal, and so he doesn't get as many shots opportunity, even though he is scoring a lot of goals. But the thing is, he would even put more pressure on the defense if he was on the right side and cutting in as he used to. But the thing is, we don't have a Xavi in the middle. We don't have anyone. Iniesta isn't playing. And we don't have that kind of distribution that or someone that keeps possession. So that's why Messi's in the middle. Rakitic has definitely been playing a lot better because now he's not going all the way up to the quadrant. He's only staying to a certain area so that he can cover back on defense. So he's not being exposed as much. But anyway, let's get into further statistics. Let's get into the general play statistics. Possession, 65% for Barcelona, 34% for Espanyol. So obviously a high percentage of possession for Barcelona again. Let's see, offsides, one offside, so not too many. Corners, 5 corners for Barcelona, 4 for Espanyol. More about the pass distribution. So again, a high number of passes for Barcelona, 633 passes to 319 to Espanyol. Accuracy was high on both, 83% for Barcelona, 70% for Espanyol. Again, total crosses, and this is where this comes in. So total crosses, 21 for Espanyol, always trying to put dangerous play against Barcelona, and Barcelona had 10. Let's get into the defensive statistics. So tackles, again, a lot of good number of tackles. It was a derby, so it's always going to be contested that way. Espanyol had 29 and Barcelona 19. Yellow cards, 3 for Espanyol and 0 for Barcelona, and 0 red cards. So let's get into some of the, which I love, as I always say in the latest podcast, in the FCBarcelona.com website. You can see specific players' heat maps, which is just amazing. You can see the shots and just it's just amazing to see all the different graphics they have now. It's just it's amazing. I love it. I get lost in it. But anyway, I'm looking at the shot graph with the goals and the shots on target. A little bit better of the distribution around the box. But again, the majority come from the left side where Neymar, Messi, and of course Suarez up the middle. Nothing on the right. I mean, it's just completely vacant. So, for example, if I'm scouting against Barcelona, I know that I can, shade my defense to Neymar and Suarez aside and not even worry about the right. So that's what I'm saying. When you give the defense an advantage like that, the games are always going to be more contested. Anyway, that's pretty much it. Let's get into the goals just more specifically. So the first goal was scored in the 50th minute by Suarez. It was a really bad pass by the Espanyol defense. He was trying to pass it to the keeper, and it was a terrible, just not enough pace and just an awful decision. It almost looked like a perfect through ball for Suarez, but Suarez took it, made no mistake, and just hit it past the keeper. Really nice goal, broke his scoreless drought, and so he was on the board. In the 76th minute, it was a nice goal from Rakitic. It was almost like a Messi goal where he kind of guided it in the far right corner. The keeper wasn't really expecting that kind of a shot, and it was just a really nice lead-up play by Messi, and then just giving a nice through ball to Rakitic, who ran onto it and just had a nice goal from that. And then the last goal in the 87th minute, Suarez again, the defender whiffed on the ball. He tried to clear it, completely whiffed on the ball, and Suarez was right there for the taking and put it past the Espanyol defender or keeper. So overall, again, I'm not looking for the most aesthetically pleasing match against Espanyol. I always know it's going to be a difficult match. But, it's just like some of these things that, knowing your squad and still going to this 4-3-3 is just baffling to me. It's just, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. We spent so much money on these players this past season, and we still don't know if they're any good or not. There's all this talk about what should we do with, Andres Gomez and Ander Turan, and the list goes on and on, and we have no idea what they're going to do. And I read recently that Mathieu was going to leave next year. Again, he's not the sexiest player. Like, he's not an attacker or anything, but he's a defender, and I just don't think he had that much opportunity. He was really good in Valencia before, so I just think that he just didn't have as much opportunity. And again, it's just about your pairing with on defense and also being put in the right situations. It's just a lot of times Mathieu was exposed, and his bad passing sometimes. But overall, as a aerial presence in the back of the box, he's good. And I don't know, it's just I see in the on Facebook and things like this, and social media, that people are clamoring for Verratti and all these other sexy midfielders that they want. But it's like, we need defense. Like, we don't have to worry about offense. Like, our offense is fine. It's our defense. And I'm just really curious to see who's the new manager, to see what direction they take the team, what kind of formation, if we're going to adapt to something new. If we continue this 4-3-3, it's just not going to – we're going to be in the same situation next year, because – we're not going to be adapting to new formations and new counters that are happening, especially in these high-stake games in Champions League and so forth. So let's go quickly through this Barcelona-Osasuna game. This game was a goal fest. It was almost like an exhibition match for Barcelona. They played this in the Nou Camp. Again, I told you I was watching this kind of like while I was working. I had this on the radio. It was, when I turned it on, it was already 2-0. I can't watch every game. I got to do some work here. But anyway, let's get into the starting lineups from that match. Basically, it was almost kind of like the B team for Barcelona. So Ter Stegen in goal, Digne, Pique, Mascherano, Rakitic, Arda Turan, Sergio Busquets, Denis Suarez, Andre Gomez, Paco Alcacer, and Messi. And for Osasuna, do you really care? I'm not going to go through those as soon as the starting lineup. It was just, they're going to be relegated this year, so it doesn't matter. Thanks for showing up this year. Anyway, so again, the goal was 7 for Barcelona, 1 to Osasuna. Total shots, Barcelona 19, and 3 for Osasuna, 9 shots on target, 2 for Osasuna, so obviously a better percentage for Barcelona. Shots from outside the box, 6 for Barcelona, and 2 for Osasuna. Again, the heat map. In this match, Messi was playing almost as the middle, and we had presence all over the front three quadrants. The red is all over. It's left side, center, and right. So that's what you like to see. You like to see, you know, when I'm looking at this heat map compared to the Espanyol heat map that I just looked at, I can definitely see that there's just action everywhere. And as a defense, you don't know where the ball's going to go or where they're going to go. And now I understand this is Osasuna, so obviously it's relative, right? It's relative of the defense and also the tactics that you're going to put in. But at the same time, we passed the ball all over the field. We attacked all over the field, and it gave us more goals. So I just take it at that, you know. And that's how, I just understand. If I'm looking at this like this, as a fan, as a person who's played football for more than 25 years, and I think I know what I'm talking about when it comes to football. I'm just looking at this statistically. How doesn't Luis Enrique look at that and just emphasize more diversity in attacking? I mean, that's just, I don't get it. Anyway, so going back to the statistics from the Osasuna game, Barcelona had the majority of the possession, close to 80%, where Osasuna had 23. Offsides, Osasuna had 4 to Barcelona's 1. Passing, I mean, it's ridiculous. Barcelona almost had 800 passes. 800 passes, That's insane. I mean, I played football last weekend, and I think in a 20-minute half, we must have had total passes, probably 30. That just tells you, like, the difference of, wow, 800 passes. That's ridiculous. And their passing accuracy on top of that is, like, 90%, 89.6. That's just, I know, like, a majority of them are just back passes, but still, just keeping the possession and just moving. Let's see, defense, you really care? Let's look at the shot map, which I love looking at on the FC Barcelona website. If you haven't checked it out, it's really fun to look at all the different things they have, especially the heat map. I love how, like, in the in-match now that they, for example, here, I think it's pretty standard now because it's the same feed, but how they put the heat map, the distance run, They just give more statistics, which I just think is always fascinating, because when you're watching the game, sometimes you just forget how good these guys are and where they're running and so forth. Again, I'm looking at this. This is just a thing of beauty. Just shots all over the place, you know, left side, center, right side, goals everywhere. You know, and that's, again, when we focus are attacking in all three quadrants, we're so dangerous. I mean, even more dangerous than normal, because the defense is on their heels the whole time. But, you know, this is what I keep saying for the big games against, like, Juventus, against Madrid. I know we won against Madrid, but still, it's just, like, these type of games. You know, if you want to put Messi in the middle, that's great. I'm all for it. Put Messi in the middle. But you got to keep another forward there on the right side, or play two up the middle, having Neymar and Suarez up the middle as two. We have to put pressure on their defense even more. We can't give them any type of free pass on that. So anyway, so that's pretty much it. The goals, I mean, there was a lot of goals, and I'm not going to really get into it because it was almost an exhibition match. Nothing really too exciting after 2-0. Messi came off at halftime, basically. And, you know, it was good to see Paco Alcázar. I think he has a bright future in Barcelona. I think he just needs to keep his head down and just keep working. He's going to get opportunities. You know, I would definitely like to see the lineup be like Neymar, Suarez, Paco Alcázar, and Messi as the four up front, and Messi as a midfield distributor going on all sides. And then having the rest of the crew back behind them. So having something like Iniesta and Busquets, and then the four back, something like this. I think it would, or and Rakitic as well, and having that as a good balance between the attacking and the defense. I think now, you know, obviously, without having Xavi and Iniesta at their prime, the 4-3-3 is just too few players trying to hold on possession. Now we just don't have it, and so we have to develop and adapt to the new formations that are out there. You know, for me, it would be something I would like to see, maybe like four in the back, then one having Busquets up on the top there, and then maybe like I said, Rakitic and Iniesta, and then Messi. Something like that. I don't know. I'm not a football tactician expert, but I mean, I still, you know, we got to use Messi in the best way possible. He's definitely leaning towards being more of a distributor midfielder, and obviously he can keep possession, so that's someone we can start using in the midfield. But anyway, so those are just my suggestions. Again, Barcelona is the leader. Let's look at the injury report as of today. Today's Tuesday morning here, and we have the injury report. I don't think there's any new actives. Let's see. Yeah, nothing too crazy, just some nicks here and there. Iniesta has a groin injury, they say here. That's why he didn't play over on Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, giving the time off now gives them more time to recoup, so they'll be fresh for Saturday's match against Villarreal. Let's go to the table. Again, like I said, Barcelona is the leader currently, and they are currently the leader. The current lead is at 81 points. Again, Madrid has the game in hand against Celta. That's going to be interesting because, you know, Celta right now is playing in the UEFA Cup against Manchester United. So that match against Madrid, they might sit their players. Just because they want to be fresh for the Manchester game. So we'll see how that all plays out. Unfortunately, if it was earlier in this season, I think Celta would have brought a stronger team. But again, they're at home. That's a difficult place to play. It's in the northwest of Spain, usually rainy, cold. So we'll see how that goes. Again, Madrid with 81 points. Atletico with 71. Sevilla with 68. Villarreal with 63. Atletico Bilbao with 62. And then the relegation battle. So basically, as of yesterday, I think Osasuna and Granada are both officially relegated, and so is Sporting Gijón. Leganes with 30 points, pretty good for them. I still love the fact that Eibar was eighth with 54 points. Incredible. And staying one more year in La Liga, they're just going to get more money. and they're going to be able to sign some, a couple more players here and there. That's a pretty impressive story, because that place is only, that city that they have is only like 20,000 people or something like that. Like, it's a really small area. I would love to see a match there. The stadium is really small. You know, I think it's a really cool experience. I'm going to look into that in the upcoming year, so we'll see about that. Again, tonight, Tuesday, the Champions League semifinals. Unfortunately, Barcelona is not in it, but I'm definitely going to be supporting Atletico Madrid, the working man's team here in Madrid. We'll see how that goes. They're playing at the Bernabeu tonight first, which I like. Gives Atletico a little bit of an edge. They get to play in the Calderon on the next week. You know, I really hope that Atletico gets to knock out Real Madrid here, get a little bit of revenge, especially since Real Madrid is really, really, really trying hard to become the first team to win back-to-back Champions League final. I still think they won't be able to do it. It's so difficult to do, to repeat as Champions League. Even as good as Barcelona has been in the past with their management of their team and stuff, they were unable to go to back-to-back finals. So I personally think Atletico is ready to do this and to kind of slay the dragon for the last two times that Real Madrid broke Atletico's hearts. So I will be watching the match tonight at a bar with some friends. It should be a pretty fun time. Also, really quick in closing, when I was watching the match on Sunday night, I was watching at my local bar here. It's always interesting to see people, how they react to different things. So I was watching the match and, like, you know, Neymar gets fouled and Suarez gets fouled. And there's these other guys there that were obviously Real Madrid fans. They were wearing like Real Madrid sweatshirts or something like that. And they were just like complaining about how Neymar always looks like he's diving and so forth. And I'm just like, really? Like, I'm always like, it's so interesting to see the point of view. And I'm just like, really? And so, like, Real Madrid, it always gets, you know, never gets a call and they never dive. And then I was just like, this is such bullshit. Anyway, so that concludes the podcast, kind of a short podcast. So please visit our website, KulaFP.com, for all our social media channels. So let's see how this Champions League pans out. My prediction for Champions League is going to be Atletico Madrid and Juventus in the final. I think it'll be a good final. I think Monaco's run is going to run out. I think they had a good run, but I think Juve is just they're just a really strong team defensively, and they also are very dangerous attacking-wise. They're very disciplined. So I think it's going to be Atletico Juve. That's my prediction. So the next podcast will be again next week, either Monday or Tuesday, most likely Monday. We'll do a review again of the Villarreal match. And again, thanks for listening to the only FC Barcelona podcast, Visca Barça.